Maine's independent bookstores weathering the pandemic. Maine is blessed with an embarrassment of riches when it comes to bookstores. I'm sure you're thinking of your favorite right now. But have you been there in the past year? Were their doors even open? Did you make an effort to place an online order from them for yourself or for your book club? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will check in with several independent Maine bookstores to find out how they're doing and how they survived what we all hope has been the worst of the pandemic. We'll also ask these booksellers for some great book recommendations, especially for Earth Day. And we invite you to tell us your favorite reads of the past year or to brag about your local independent bookstore. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. Welcome to Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Maine has an abundance of independent community bookstores run by local people. Today, we will hear how they have been managing during the challenging times brought on by the pandemic. My guests right now, Lacey Simons, owner, founder, and operator of Hello Books in Rockland. Heidi Carter, owner and bookseller at Bogan Books in Fort Kent. And Josh Christie, the owner and co-owner of Print, a bookstore in Portland. We invite your questions and your comments. We want to hear what you've been reading, whether you've been supporting your local bookstore. Do you have a book to recommend, especially for Earth Day? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Heidi in Fort Kent, first tell me what it's like at Fort Kent right now. Is anything budding or blooming?
Surprisingly, yes, it is, but it's also very white this morning. We've had a big snowstorm overnight, still flurrying a little bit, but our spring come quite early.
Oh my goodness. So the rain, the thunder rain, the thunderstorms many people got yesterday in the rest of the state turned into snow for you.
Indeed it did, yes.
Well, that's not what we're here to talk about. I was curious. We're here to talk about bookstores in Maine. And I wanted to just ask each of you to start. And I will start with you, Heidi. What the last year has been like for your bookstore?
Well, it has been obviously challenging. But I find in a lot of ways it was a blessing because it pushed us into directions that we wouldn't have gone into as quickly as we did. And we made some very good partnerships over the course of the year to help us run our business in a better way. We were closed for 3 months, but I had very antsy feet and I wanted to make sure I could open my doors as quickly as I could possibly. We're still a young bookstore, so having the doors closed for any length of time was something that made me very nervous. But I've got to say, my customers have been fantastic. They've worn masks, they've hand sanitized, they've kept their distance, and they've really helped me do the best job that I can do.
Well, let me ask you this. You said that you're a young bookstore. How young?
We opened in the fall of 2018. So before COVID hit, we really only had a solid year under our belt before we began this great adventure. And but what we did during 2020 is we built a great partnership with bookshop.org to have a much more vibrant website presence. We developed a partnership with Libro FM for audiobooks, and Shelf Awareness distributes a newsletter to all of our customers on a regular basis. And I don't know what I would have done without those great resources.
I can't imagine learning that all at once. That sounds like something, but that's a story that a lot of you are telling, Lacey, right? Learning a lot of things at once. Tell me about the story for your bookstore in Rockland.
Well, this is actually, we'll be celebrating our 10th year this year, which is bonkers.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's deeply weird to think about, especially because linear time didn't really exist this last year. We're only 850 square feet, and I you know, we've been operating with not very many employees for a really long time. When I first opened, it was just me. And a lot of this year has sort of whittled us back to that. We were able to keep a couple of employees for a little while with the first round of PPP, but they were remote and there wasn't very much we could do with that for most of the year. It's been me and my longtime operations director, Jacob, with whom I could not have done this. And it's the story that most bookstores are telling, you know, a very quick pivot to, online shopping. Luckily we already had a really functional and, well-maintained website for years and years, but most customers just didn't use it. Again, that's a story that a lot of, indie bookstores have told this year. And we were definitely very lucky to have those resources sort of ready to go and to teach people about them. And we are still close to the public. And a lot of that, aside from the obvious concerns about how do we keep people safe in a small space, how do we keep the staff, the two of us, safe? Now three, we have a part-time bookseller, Kathleen, now. It was just the logistics of how to be both, you know, shipping warehouse, how to store all our cardboard boxes, how to do all the things we need to do, and still, you know, sort of switch back and forth to being customer facing. So we're still in the process of trying to figure out what we can do and when we can do it.
Well, that's what one thing I was going to ask you, Lacey. For Rockland, you're coming up on a very important season. We know that the Lobster Festival has been canceled, but there are other things going on there. Just talking to someone from the Farnsworth about some of the exciting initiatives they have planned for this summer. And I'm just wondering, are you hoping to be able to open your doors by Memorial Day?
No, Memorial Day, no. We're hoping that we did experiment a little bit with appointment shopping in October and November, and that went relatively well. And we're hoping to get back to that in June with the hope that we can then open for small numbers in July. And that's kind of, honestly, July really is when things start to actually get busy for us in the summer. And we were lucky enough to get, you know, we got some grant money from the state through the CARES Act. We got two rounds of PPP, and that's what's kept us going, honestly, because I know we'll probably end up talking a little bit about the inefficiency of, you know, our online orders went up 780% the last year, but each one of those orders represented about five times more work than we would normally have to do for individual books. And that just from, you know, from an efficiency standpoint, when you're already a low margin bookstore, is really nightmarish. So being able to keep us going with grants was a lifesaver, but of course that won't be true next winter. So we definitely have to, we got to get back up into some hybrid version.
Josh, I'm going to turn to you. How long has print been there? I was about to say you're pretty young, but you're actually not that young a bookstore anymore, are you?
We're kind of smack dab in between Heidi and Lacey. This fall, we're right now, actually today is the 5 years since we incorporated the store.
Congratulations.
So about 4.5 years since we opened, but yeah, weird to think about that in this moment while we're on this call, but yeah, five years just about we've been here at the intersection of India and Congress in Portland.
Oh my goodness. Well, what about your year? How has it been?
Kind of same song, different verse as Heidi and Lacey. Last March, we closed to the public completely and shifted our entire staff to being totally work from home. That has shifted in some ways over the last year, of course. Our staff is now in the store 2 out of their 5 days a week when they're working. The others 3 are still from home. My business partner, Emily, and I are closer to 4 or 5 days a week in the store working, if not more. And we closed to the public. Last summer, we started doing curbside pickup. Last November, we started doing shopping by appointment, kind of like Lacey had mentioned, which we've continued to do. And we're looking at, again, kind of the same target, somewhere between Memorial Day and the 4th of July in terms of opening up in some limited way to the public.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you all in terms of sort of what's gone on over oh gosh, maybe even the best quarter century for bookstores in America, independent bookstores. And Heidi, there have been these waves of challenges. First, the big challenge was, you know, Barnes and Noble and these big mega bookstores. And at that time, and I remember there was so much worry if people had only known what was to come with online ordering. Give us your reasons for why it is still so important, Heidi, to have an independent bookstore in a place like Fort Kent, Maine.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to get emotional, I think. I've had so many people tell me, we've had a lot of people from cities move to Fort Kent in the last year. The housing market everywhere is through the roof, and we're no exception to that. But I have had an incredible amount of people come in that have moved to the area that said one of their deciding factors was that there was a bookstore in town. And we're located on America's First Mile, the first mile of US Route 1. So in a lot of ways, we're a stopping point for a lot of the tourists that come through. And they find out a lot of their information from coming and talking to me and discovering where else they can go from here. Because we're at the beginning of a lot of things and a lot of places. And it's really been a great blessing, I think, to the community. Having a bookstore was a great blessing to myself. It was a really, it's been a wonderful joy, but I didn't realize how much it would be important to so many people in my community as well. And I think we're a cultural hub. We're a place that celebrates diversity like no other in our community. And I think in a lot of ways, especially with some of the tensions that have also been about in 2020 with election years and a lot of inclusion and diversity conversations, a lot of people have found it to be a safe haven for them and where they felt comfortable talking about what they felt and finding books that they could learn and resonate their ideas with. So it's been wonderful.
Lacey, I'm going to turn to you. Rockland is not like Fort Kent in that it's larger and there's more than one bookstore, but tell me about why it's so important.
Oh, well, you know, one of the things that I've thought a lot about is the kind of the timeline of, and I think that probably everyone can relate, that the first month or two of shutdown, everyone was really patient. You know, they still moved at the pace that the bookstore did. And then there was a shift that really reflected, I think, the larger cultural attention quality shift that we've experienced over the last, especially 10 years, that people's kind of internal baseline for patience and sort of willingness to wait has changed dramatically, and the expectations that things their personal deadlines would be able to be met within a couple days, that has really had a huge impact on just everybody. And I've learned a lot over however many years I've been in retail, but especially the last 10 years of owning my business, about American consumer behavior. But so much of what I learned before that has sort of been pushed to the side, and I've seen something kind of deeper and darker, I think, this last year. And some of it I don't like, but it helps me recommit to and stay steady in my belief that bookstores are a place where we can a little bit return to a more natural human rhythm. That sounds a little woo-woo, but there's something, especially because I'm not seeing that many humans anymore, I think. And I think that's what happened to a lot of customers too, just across the country, is that the less they saw the people behind the counters at stores or heard them on the phone, the further away they got from the idea that we were still humans and not like sort of faceless online robots. And that was really, it was an interesting thing to have happen in a way that made me recommit to the idea that we have to stick around, because it's just good for everybody.
Mm. Josh, your turn. And I know that a huge part of Print's whole philosophy is to have events and bring people together. I've been to some of the events. They're phenomenal. You need a bigger store. But but how does this change sort of the whole mission of your bookstore?
It's so our shift has been moving into the virtual space. We moved pretty quickly to move our events onto Zoom and Crowdcast and other virtual spaces. As you mentioned, we've had a pace for the last 4 years of between 100 and 200 events a year. So it is a lot. And Gracie and Stephanie, who are our events manager and children's manager, along with Emily, my co-owner, have really worked hard to make the virtual experience as close to the in-store print experience as possible. And we've had pretty close to 100 events in the last year. So we've kept up the pace despite the fact that they've all gone online. And some of them, like for example, our event with Erin French a couple of weeks ago for the launch of her memoir, we had more people at that event than we had at our largest in-person event at the State Theater a couple of years ago. We had, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 people at the event, which is just an incredible number and shows some of the potential of these virtual events as opposed to in-person ones, because people came from all around the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I can say that the main public book club that was launched just a few months ago saw the same thing. We could not believe how many people joined, and in a wonderful way, but so much so that we had to shift from a Zoom platform to YouTube because our Zoom platform couldn't handle how many people. I want to go, before we go to a break, I want to go to a caller. Patricia is calling from St. George. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Your show is so magnificent. I hope our little bookstores survive. Little anecdote for you. I talked with my 8-year-old granddaughter in Wisconsin who was homeschooled, and they're done for the year. And I said, so what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to read. I'm going to read, read, read. on your question about Earth Day books, I think my husband and I have recently got into the main author, John Gould. Are you there?
I am. We're listening. John Gould.
Okay. John Gould, who lived from 1908 to 2003 and wrote multiple humorous books about life in the simpler times. And I think we need to encourage our young children to get back to some of the older books like Robert McCluskey's Blueberries for Sal. And I'm going to get into this year The Soul of Soil, A Guide to Ecological Soil Management, as I'm semi-retired and hope to have some gardens. And everybody must read Ben of Old Monhegan.
Well, thank you so much for the recommendations as the first call of the show. And I am going to ask our booksellers as well for recommendations, but I'm going to wait and do it after a break. If you'd like to join the conversation, our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can go to our Facebook page and post a comment. You can tweet at Maine Calling or send an email to talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the Lunder Foundation in support of the Colby College Museum of Art, who are bringing the museum to you online at colby.edu/museum. Buy cherished possessions, recycling treasures from Maine homes for 35 years, Auburn Street in Portland, or at cherishedpossessions.com. And by the Marvin Design Gallery by Eldridge Lumber in Portland, a Marvin retailer providing windows and doors, committed to helping people live well in their homes.
I'm Say Love, and if you need something new on Friday night, I suggest you tune in to Maine Public Classical. We've got a new jazz lineup that starts at 5, and at 6 I'll bring you the Jazz Flower, back-to-back with Rich Tozier's Jazz Tonight. At 10, we'll have Jazz Night in America with Christian McBride, and from 11 to 3, Jazz After Hours on Maine Public Classical.
There's a wonderful world of learning for students of all ages at mainepublic.org, the PBS Learning Media Portal, found in the Education section of our website. It offers a wide variety of engaging lessons and activities, from pre-K math to calculus, English language arts to ethics, and even professional development opportunities, all designed to support learning from anywhere. PBS Learning Media has it all. Check it out today at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're learning how Maine's independent bookstores are managing during these times. Joining me, Josh Christie, author and co-owner of Print, a bookstore. Lacey Simons, owner, founder, and operator of Hello, Hello Books. And Heidi Carter, a bookseller at Bogan Books. Share your comments or questions via email, talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. I did mention before the break, it is Earth Day. We are looking for Earth Day book recommendations. A tweet from Marie: a wonderful book to celebrate Earth Day is Scott Wiedenthal's A World on the Wing, about the effect of climate change on bird migration all over the world. So we've asked all of you as well. Heidi, what is your recommendation for Earth Day, or are your recommendations for Earth Day?
I always have a hard time with recommendations, keeping my list narrow.
I can imagine.
For novels, I really want to recommend Migrations by Charlotte McGonaghy. It's about a woman that has a passion for Arctic terns, and she goes to Greenland to follow the last migratory flock of Arctic terns. But of course, she discovers some things about herself in the process. A nonfiction piece, I know this one's been talked a lot on this show, but I really feel today's the best day for Mainers everywhere to read Milltown by Carrie Arsenault. I think it really unveils some important things that we all need to know about our state and some of the concerns that may be part of the economy in our state. But it's also beautifully written. She did a great job on that. And this year, I think every year, but this year there's a ton of children's books that have just come out that are just beautiful, like hail to the earth type of books. And there's even Peppa Pig and the Earth Day Adventure that sounds very like marketing-esque, but it's good characters, and it teaches the kids a lot about the things that they should keep important to their heart with the earth. And The Tree in Me by Corinna Lykland, and Zonia's Rainforest by Juana Martinez Neal. That one is just absolutely beautiful. And it really talks about some of the concerns in the rainforest, and it helps children way up in Fort Kent, Maine, that have nothing to do with rainforests, understand what's going on with them. And that's why we like that particular book.
Thank you. Okay, Lacey, your turn.
Well, I definitely take a really intersectional approach to Earth Day as much as I can. There's so much inherent in the idea of who climate change especially impacts. So, and I want to, you know, first acknowledge that because we're on Wabanaki land, it's really important to us to sell books by Indigenous authors nationally and locally. And for one of our absolutely perennial bestsellers and favorites is An Indigenous People's History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz. That is one of those should be taught to every college freshman, if not eighth grader books. Sort of hearkening back to what I was saying about sort of pace and attention, a kind of an off unusual choice for Earth Day would be one of my favorites, which is How to Do Nothing: Resisting the Attention Economy by Jenny Odell. It's a book that's so sort of multi-genre that it's hard to describe, because she talks about, you know, philosophers from many, many centuries ago, but she's also deeply rooted in the current moment. And it has like some self-help kind of feelings in it, but it's also really cerebral. But it's fundamentally about the ways in which we don't owe the capitalistic structure all of our attention, and how we can give back politically by subverting the ways that tries to capture our attention. Locally, one of our, he's not a local writer, but locally he sells a lot of books for us, is Doug Tallamy, and he has a new book called The Nature of Oaks, The Rich Ecology of Our Most Essential Native Trees. He is kind of a native plant activist and has written a lot about Americans reclaiming their own gardens and backyards and making sure to bring in as many native plants as possible, thinking about the kind of web of species who depend on those native plants in there, especially birds, you know, they're like sort of their migratory pathways, wanting to make sure that in their rest spots, they have what they need. And if they don't have the plants they're expecting there, that sort of ruins everything for them. And then just a brief note for kids too. I'm glad we're talking about kids' books. Temple Grandin has a new book called The Outdoor Scientist, The Wonder of Observing the Natural World. And there's also a great series called the Backpack Explorer series that has books on bugs, and there's a seashore one, and they're waterproof, which is fantastic. They're really tough and really like deeply visual. So they're really good, like put in the backpack, go out, and it's fine for them to get dirt all over them books.
All right. Well, I love these recommendations so far. And I love that you both have mentioned people who have been on Maine Calling. Jenny O'Dell was on Maine Calling, as well as Carrie Arsenault. Josh, I know you have a list ready for us, but we have a couple booksellers calling in. I'm going to go to first, and then I'm going to come to you. And I actually saw you walking around looking at titles at your... I love doing Maine Calling on Zoom so I can spy on my guests while I talk to you all. But right now we're going to Kenny Breckner, who is the owner and operator of DDG, Booksellers in Farmington. Thanks for calling in, Kenny.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And I just, I think you probably heard what the other booksellers said. How have you been doing? Are your doors open, and are you doing many more online orders than you did in the past?
So we're open to our capacity is five people at a time. We've gone through, the dark tunnel of shutdown into appointments and to where we are now with human beings coming into the store and everything. So that's been a challenge, but something that's been a nice change. Certainly like we're doing much more online ordering. We had a big surge in that. The thing that has impacted our business a great deal is just we're kind of a school specialist, work very closely with a number of local districts. And we care about our literacy outreach and community engagement above all things. So always trying to bear that in mind. We're about to celebrate our 30th year, and that's been core for us this whole time. And, when we try and be there for the community, and when we needed the community, they were there for us in a big way during this last year. The Mount Blue RSD, led by their visionary curriculum coordinator, Laura Columbia, put together a really large scale purchase to support remote learning from CARES Act money. And we worked with them really hard on that. Hattie Drafts was just a stellar from the high school point person, and Hattie Vayu from the middle school, just so appreciative of the opportunity to work with them on this just really large project. And that really helped us get through.
Well, Kenny, thank you. And congratulations on 30 years. That's fantastic. Before we let you go, we have to ask you what we've just asked the two of our other guests, and we'll ask Josh, do you have any Earth Day book recommendations?
I am not at the store, so I couldn't go raid my shelves as much. But my personal Earth Day pick is Fungarium, Welcome to the Museum from Big Picture Press. It's a giant, oversized, like, wonderful tribute to fungi. I can't say enough about this museum-like celebration of all things fungi. It's just absolutely brilliant. The author is the aptly named Esther Gaia, and Katie Scott's illustrations are just wonderful and stupendous. And then, in terms of celebrating the Earth, we've just been so happy that local author Doug Dunlap, who has produced hiking guides and paddling guides and snowshoe guides, some very local to Farmington and some throughout the state of Maine, He had originally been self-published, but he was picked up by Down East, and there's been a big lag where the books, before the books transferred into coming back in print, and they've just come back in print, and everyone's extremely happy to have those on hand. And we've been, I recommend everyone getting a hand on one of those and walking over the earth with the guidance of Doug.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. That's Kenny Breckner with DDG Booksellers in Farmington. And now going to Eric Furry, the owner of Pro Libris Book in Bangor. Eric, thanks so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. That's rare. That's rare.
Well, I did take Latin, but it was a long time ago. tell me how your bookstore has been faring this year and a half. And let me say that you are a secondhand bookstore, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you've been around a long time.
Yeah, over 40 years now.
So tell me how this past year is compared to the other 39.
Well, it's the last few years have been off from what it was, say, 20 years ago. But it's still doing well. You know, I make a living. Plus, I'm 72 years old now, so I get that Social Security every month, and I have to take some out of my IRA. My overhead is really low. So, you know, I just love what I do, and a lot of people seem to appreciate it, too. So I've done well.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to have a surge in interest. The Christian Science Monitor, as you know, just did a story. We posted it on our Facebook page. Have you seen a surge in interest since then?
I got a box of books in the mail today from some writer in California who saw it. And a number of people, I found out about it first from a friend of mine who's a surgeon in Berlin, Germany. And she reads it online. And said, oh, man, you got written up in the Christian Science Monitor.
Oh, you didn't even know it was coming. Oh, my goodness. And then this man just sent you books and said you can sell these?
Oh, it's a woman, yeah.
A woman. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wow. So what books over the years have been your biggest sellers, and do you have any Earth Day recommendations?
Well, this store, I sell a lot more contemporary literature, like Murakami, Kurt Vonnegut, Tom Robbins, Angela Carter, Octavia Butler, and a lot of nonfiction, too, like Doris Kearns Goodwin, and poetry, like Mary Oliver. And I, you know, I sell a fair amount of popular fiction, too, but James Patterson or Daniel Steele just don't stack up against who I consider to be the good guys. And as far as Earth Day recommendations, you know, I would say anything by Baron Heinrich, Rachel Carson, of course, Annie Dillard, Ed Abbey. But if I was just going to pick one, I'd go with Thoreau.
All right. These are wonderful recommendations, and we can even go back to your Mary Oliver, I think, right, Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you, Eric Furry. Eric Furry is the owner of Pro Libris Bookshop in Bangor. Okay, Josh, I promised you. What are your recommendations for Earth Day? What did you find on the shelves when you turned around and walked around your store?
I'm so glad you enjoyed me running around here. Yeah, as you know, in the studio, I never stop moving. You have to strap me to the chair when I'm there at the studio, so I get to move around at will when I'm here in the store. I'm really glad that Kenny mentioned Doug Dunlap's books, which are great. I just picked up and been working through his book on the 4,000 footers in Maine. 14 of the 67 4,000 footers in New England are in Maine, you know, Katahdin, Avery Peak at Bigelow, Saddleback. And it is a great guide that is now much more widely available, as Kenny mentioned. In terms of Earth Day picks, my first is Sparrow Envy by J. Drew Lanham, which I have to give a hat tip to Lacey for, because it is a poetry collection. And it was about 10 years ago that Lacey introduced me to reading poetry for pleasure rather than reading just in an academic setting, which I'm eternally grateful for. And Lanham is a Black birder, and it is kind of to Lacey's talking about intersectionality, is talking about his experience in these different communities, as well as just beautiful poetry about the outdoors and about birds. So it's just a stunning collection that just came out in a handsome little hardcover a week ago. Another that I think a lot of people have heard of at this point, because it's been out for ages but is still essential, is Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. It is a book about the intersection of biology and science with indigenous knowledge and indigenous culture, and how the two are in communication with each other and can learn from one another. And then I think it is really important to mention a book like Danny Kane, who is the owner of the Raven Bookstore in Lawrence, Kansas, just had a book called How to Resist Amazon and Why published, which is expanded from a zine that he had written about a year ago. And it reckons with a lot of the economic and cultural, but also the environmental impacts of a company like Amazon. If anyone over the last year, and especially over the holidays, was wondering about reprints and having difficulty getting the books they were looking for, one of the reasons is that publishers have reduced their print runs for a lot of books. But another very important reason is that a number of book printers in the US have gone under or shifted their production, and they have shifted it to producing cardboard to ship single items from companies like Amazon. So it speaks to how all of these things are interconnected when we think about where we're shopping and where we're buying our books.
We do need to go to another quick break. We invite you to talk about your favorite bookstore, or your favorite book, or your recommendation for Earth Day. Our Facebook page is hopping. Also, you can call us 1-800-399-3566. Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org or tweet at Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Dean Sweets, specializing in hand-dipped nut-free chocolates in Portland's Old Port and on Cove Street, deansweets.com, and by Ocean View at Falmouth, with the goal of promoting optimal health through active retirement living, oceanviewrc.com.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. President Biden is promising to end the war in Afghanistan.
I'm now the fourth United States president preside over American troop presence in Afghanistan. Two Republicans, two Democrats. I will not pass this responsibility onto a fifth.
What does a veteran of that war think? That's next time on Here and Now.
Stay with us Here and Now, upcoming at 12 noon today here on Maine Public Radio. Spring cleaning doesn't just happen, especially when it comes to unneeded cars and trucks that have been sitting in your driveway since last spring. From now until the end of May, when you donate a vehicle to Maine Public, we'll send you a custom Maine Public Radio car cleaning sponge and a can of premium car wax for your current ride. Learn more and get things rolling at mainepublic.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today, we're talking about Maine's independent bookstores. And also, since it's Earth Day, we're getting some recommendations on great books in honor of Earth Day. Our guest today, Josh Christie, who is co-owner of Print in Portland. Lacey Simons, owner, founder, and operator of Hello Hello Books in Rockland. And Heidi Carter, a bookseller at Bogan Books in Fort Kent. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go to Ava calling from York. Hi, Ava. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for such a wonderful show. Couple of things. I grew up in a small town, and that independent bookstore has been there since 1809. But when we were kids, it was an amazing place to just go, hunker in, look at some books. And if we were lucky enough, because there were five of us, we got to purchase a book. And I just want to say to your guests, I've owned a small business since 1984 myself. If you're passionate about what you do and you're lucky enough to do it, it takes a lot of perseverance. Sometimes people don't understand, and it can be difficult, and especially this year. So I give them all credit for sticking to it. My book today that I want to recommend is by, the name of it is Legacy of Luna. It's by Julia Butterfly Hill, who in 1999 climbed a tree, a redwood. She thought she'd be there for about 2 weeks, maybe three maximum, and she sat up there and never touched the ground for 2 years. And to me, she really is someone who did persevere for the environment. So on this Earth Day, I want to recommend that my daughter actually got to meet her and bring her to campus of her college in Massachusetts in 2009. But she really did what she set out to do and brought attention. I think even Joan Baez had climbed the tree to stay up there for a while with her and some other activists in the day. But it's a wonderful read. And I also wanted to say Rachel Carson, Silent Spring, who was, she just was so advanced in her thinking for so long ago. And unfortunately, it's still very true today for the environment. But
thank you, Ava. Other people have recommended Silent Spring as well. Thank you so much for calling in with those recommendations. We have so many emails coming in here. I want to go from, let's see, an email from Gail. Would like to shout out to Nancy Hoswald and Left Bank Books in Belfast. She has a great front window filled with Earth Day books, and they welcome dogs. Nancy is always ready for a good recommendation. And then Marcella says, just want to say how much I've appreciated having Bogan Books in Aroostook County. My husband and I moved back to the county from Orono at the beginning of the pandemic. We were starved for a bookstore experience over the past year and discovered Bogan Books just a month ago and took our first trip to the store just a couple weekends ago. It is such a wonderful store, and we left with a couple armfuls of books and a smile on our faces. There you go, Heidi.
Thank you so much. That's just wonderful to hear.
Jen on Facebook, if you're looking for great Earth Day reads, check out anything by Maine science writer Catherine Schmidt. Her books and magazine articles are available in local bookstores and throughout our great state. An email from Jonathan. What advice would you give to someone interested in opening a bookstore? Josh, you want to take this one?
Sure, I'll give it a shot. I think the best advice is to reach out to organizations that can guide you in opening the store, because there is so much institutional knowledge that builds up over a couple years for Heidi, 5 years for Lacey, 10 years, or 5 years for me, 10 years for Lacey, excuse me. So the American Booksellers Association, which is our national trade association, or the New England Independent Booksellers Association, which is our regional here for stores in New England, they can guide you through the process, including professional courses and education about everything from the back end to the front end of a bookstore. And just as with any business and entrepreneurship, be prepared for it to eat up the entirety of your life and your budget. And that might sound appealing to some, that might not, but it's good to know what you're headed in for when that happens.
Okay, Heidi, you're the youngest of the bookstores. What would you say?
I would add to what Josh said. I really feel that the affiliations with the ABA and NEBA have been a godsend to me. A lot of questions I had were answered because of them. But also the bookselling community as a whole, I mean, everybody has so much knowledge, and it's such a supportive community. Even though we're competitors, we support each other and help each other. And I would just say to reach out to booksellers personally and talk to them and see what their experiences are.
I'm going to read a bunch of recommendations. Kim recommends Bridgeton Books. Aaron likes Oliver and Friends Bookshop and Reading Room and Gulf of Maine Books, Left Bank Books, Devaney Doak, and Garrett Booksellers. Beth suggests Yes Books and Longfellow Books, and a different Beth recommends The Tribune in Norway. More shout outs on Facebook to Print, Quill, The Briar Patch, Sherman's, Bull Moose, Letterpress Books. And I have a note from my producer. People are passionate about their bookstores. Kurt says Pro Libris is his favorite bookstore. I love that place. And Eric is an awesome, super cool hippie. And I use that word with affection. Sarah says the same thing. Pro Libris is one of my favorite places. So cozy and filled to the brim with books. Several people recommending Nonesuch Books and More in South Portland. Someone to Green Hand Books in Portland. So, I think that's all for right now. Prudence on Facebook asks, do the panelists have a pulse on whether during this time audiobooks have increased or decreased over the sale of print books? The entrepreneurs of bookshops have the most delightful nooks for their patrons, and I thank them for that. Lacey, are you involved in selling audiobooks, and do you have a sense?
Yeah. Just like Heidi mentioned, Libro FM, that's the platform that's emerged as not only an alternative to Audible, but one that's been really active in partnering with indie bookstores. And we're also lucky enough that they are compatible with we use a Book Manager, which is a Canadian point of sale system. And they also host our website. So when you go to our website, if an audiobook is available, you can actually, there's a button that you can click that will take you right to our storefront on Libro FM. Just anecdotally, I wouldn't say that the sales have risen an enormous amount for us. I mean, I think in the first 2 months of shutdown, as people were doing a lot more puzzles, they were also doing a lot more listening to books. I think our print sales are still, 95% of what we're seeing. I think a lot of audiobooks have been, honestly, I think a lot of that happens through libraries, which is great. But we're really happy to have that option, especially for people who really don't like reading in print or engage in activities that audiobooks really complement.
And Josh and Heidi, I see you both nodding. Same experience with your bookstores?
Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, to answer the question, I don't think that for anyone, us or big vendors, that audiobooks have eclipsed print sales, but they've certainly grown. And I do want to do a little plug for further back in the main calling feed, your conversation with Mark Pearson from Libro FM has a lot more information about how that platform specifically has worked with independent bookstores to grow our audiences.
Mm-hmm. Heidi?
Yes, I wouldn't say that it's done anything to reduce our print sales, but our listening readers are growing all the time. And I think the other part, back to Josh's point about Danny Kane's book, How to Resist Amazon and Why, is that Audible is an Amazon company. So when people learn that Libro FM actually supports independent bookstores, they're more willing to take that route.
An email here from Mary. I just wanted to say I'm a non-traditional graduate student in Portland. I work and go to school full time. I can honestly say that having print and the Green Hand in my neighborhood has made a huge difference. There have been times I needed very specific books for my research, and both of them have had my back. Endless gratitude to our local independent Maine bookstores, and congratulations to the class of 2021. some more recommendations here. Miriam recommends Annie Dillard and Douglas Preston. And an email from Mike, Secrets of a Salt Marsh by John O. Snow. Inspiration, and this Mike Noble's a musician, it's inspiration for his song, A Party in the Marsh, and a wonder primer on the life and critical importance of the world's wetland habitat. So thank you, Mike Noble, for that recommendation. Here from Maggie, what do your guests think of mobile walk-in store trucks? Perhaps a shared experience for such a vehicle with other small retailers. This would probably necessitate local code changes, but for example, some libraries have mobile walk-in trucks. The ding-ding of an ice cream truck, but with more substance. Have you thought about it, Josh?
My fantasy that I might as well just disclose here on the air is a book truck that would travel on Casco Bay lines. So something that could visit the islands here in Portland. We have so many customers come in for events or to buy books that are beholden to the ferry schedule. And I would love to go to them. Plus, selfishly, it would give me a chance to be on the islands during the summer.
I like that. Lacey, have you thought of that?
Well, I mean, I think we can all probably relate as business owners to the fact that our brains always like something to chew on. And even if we have kind of like done as much as we can and should maybe rest for a little bit, that there's always a part of our brains that's like, oh, you know what I could do? And then you start thinking about it. And I actually deliberately sometimes have to like tell myself to stop thinking about things like that. But honestly, I absolutely have. I mean, I've thought about if I could hire someone just to travel around downtown on a bike to deliver books. I really like the idea of doing something mobile, but I'm also really intimidated by the laws and regulations around that. And also just knowing that I would probably be in charge of that and trying to add that to my list of things to do is also kind of exhausting. So in a parallel life, I'll say that's absolutely happening and it's going really well. And I'm really happy with it. In this particular life, it is but a vision.
So, and Heidi, I'm you're nodding as well, thinking the last thing you need are some more suggestions of what you could be doing, even though I'm sure your wonderful customers have them all the time.
Yeah, I think that a creative mind is a difficult one to harness because I think to be a business owner in this day and age, you really need to be a creative individual. And it's great ideas. And of course, it's something that everybody talks about. We did curbside pickup and deliveries. I'm sure Josh and Lacey have some.
They're nodding. Experience with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I remember, one of these deliveries, the car was full of children and I was bringing them books, and it was during the time that we were shut down. And the mother was just so grateful that I would meet them in the dark alley in the back parking lot to give books to these kids that were at home during shutdown. And it really did, spark that idea of a mobile book store. But I think any creative idea is a great one to have.
Okay. Well, we have a tweet from Brad, a Earth Day book recommendation, The Overstory by Richard Powers, an epic story that compares the interconnectivity of trees to the connections we make as people. You'll be left with a new respect for the giant ancient beings that have been here long before man. And Brooke on Facebook says, here in Bucksport, we are blessed to have a wonderful bookstore that also sells wine, Bookstacks. It's a downtown institution. So we have about a minute left. And Josh, I'm going to toss to you because you keep referring to your co-owner, Kate, but Kate had some pretty big news in the last couple months. So why don't you wrap up the show with a great big Kate's her sister.
The multi-talented Russo family.
So anyway, but why don't you wrap up with a recommendation for us here on Maine Calling?
Absolutely. Kate Russo's debut novel, Superhost, which is a comic novel centered around the world of Airbnb and the art world, both of which she's quite familiar with in her I don't want to say her real life, but her life outside of being an author. And we did the launch in a pandemic. It was delayed to this year from last year, and finally came out this spring, and is a spectacular comic novel. If you're looking to laugh, if you're looking for something fun to read, I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, there we go. And we have been scribbling and trying to compile the recommendations that have come onto the program today. We'll get those out on our Facebook page and on our webpage. I want to thank all of our guests today. You just heard the voice of Josh Christie, the co-owner of Print, a bookstore in Portland. Heidi Carter, a bookseller at Bogan Books in Fort Kent, and Lacey Simons, owner, founder, and operator of Hello, Hello Books. Today's sound engineer was George Thomas. Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn produce Maine Calling. Tomorrow on the program, we will talk with USA Today's Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page about her new biography of Nancy Pelosi. I've been reading it. It's fascinating. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.